Welcome to my YouTube channel. In today's video, I'm going to continue my series about prayer. Prayer that actually works, prayer that changes things, prayer that brings heaven to earth and transforms things around us. In a moment, we're going to continue. I'm going to be talking today about intercession, about how to effectively pray prayers that work for other people, how to pray and stand in the gap for others. I'm going to give you 7 keys to intercession, and we're going to dispel some urban myths, some false teaching on prayer and intercession as well. Good. Hey, again, a few quick housekeeping things. If you're new to my ministry, my name is Graham Jones. I am an Anglo-American, a British American. Live here in New England, and I lead a small group of churches here and travel in ministry both here in the United States and the nations of the world. You can find me at my website, gjm.org. My church is here in New England. I have an online ministry school, ministryschool.net, and so much more. If you're on my YouTube channel, please do consider hitting the subscribe button down there. Give this a thumbs up and share the video. Check out some of the links below, including our audio podcast. And lastly, sign up for our email newsletter. Great way of keeping in touch with our ministry. And lastly, thank you to all of the partners to my ministry as well. You know, it's not something I talk about a lot, but whenever I travel in ministry, I'm able to travel and I don't charge churches anything. Pay my flights, my hotels, my travel expenses. You know, whenever I travel, I just ask churches to take an offering for my missions work. Why? Because I'm blessed. And my partners pay all of our travel expenses. So thanks to you guys, you really rock. If you're interested in becoming a partner, hit the link below and we'll send you some details for that. Good. So let's talk about intercession. Let me begin by reading a passage of scripture many of you will know. 1 Timothy 2, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, "Therefore, I exhort you first of all," I'd underline that first of all, "that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made for all men," and then in the senses, "for especially for kings and all who are in authority." Why? It's interesting, people stop reading here. Paul tells us the why, that we, not the they, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men," not some, not the elect, "all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." And it continues, "For there is one God, one mediator, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all." So Paul says, pray. And he talks about praying prayers of supplication, intercession, and giving of thanks. And he says, pray, again, in this context, he's actually saying pray for people of influence, for kings, for rulers. And his goal in praying this is that there would be peace, that we, the body of Christ, would live a quiet and peaceable life, that the gospel would go forth. It's an interesting thing, and it's not my topic today, but it's important to grasp this. One of Satan's plans to disrupt the world, one of Satan's plans behind recession, one of Satan's plans behind things like COVID and pandemics and worldwide meltdown and revolutions and things like that, is to shut down the body of Christ. Everything Satan does is aimed at shutting down the body of Christ. Yeah, the body of Christ is not incidental to the plan of Satan for the earth. It's his primary enemy. It's every single thing he does. And Paul talks here, and again, another version about, and other passages, about this term intercession. And I want to just spend a few moments with you today just unpacking that and asking, what is intercession? And I want to challenge you, because it's one of these words that sometimes becomes a catch-all for so many different subjects. And I honestly think if I got the average 10 Christians and said, what is intercession, I might have 8 out of 10 ideas which were not grounded in Scripture. And what we often do is get a biblical concept, attach things which are not biblical to it, and when somebody questions them, we say, well, hey, that word intercession is in the Bible, so these things must be okay. And with everything in the Scriptures, what we've really got to do is come back to Jesus. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus do? What did the apostles say and teach? What did they actually do? So let's talk about intercession. What is intercession? Intercession basically means to pray for somebody else. To intercede literally means to go in between. It means to stand in the gap. It means if there were two people, person A and person B, who are having a problem, and maybe in fight or in a disagreement, and I come in the middle and I try to bring arrangement, I have interceded. I remember years ago being in Marseille in the south coast of France with two Scottish guys. I was there with my younger brother and we had two Scottish friends. And for some reason, these guys were walking around Marseille, which is a really rough town in the south of France, in kilts. These Scottish guys were in kilts. And I remember as we're walking down the main strip in the Gare Saint-Charles near the Vieux Port, one of my Scottish friends saw two young Arab Maghrebin boys fighting, punching each other. And these Scottish guys, they were really big, hefty guys. So one of my Scottish friends with kilt on went, and he went right in the middle of these two young Arab boys, pushed them apart. And then he said, I didn't even speak a word of French. He said, right, I want you to shake hands with you, and you to shake hands with you, and you guys to get on well. And both of these young guys looked at my Scottish friend, and they both at the same time punched him in the nose. And why am I sharing this? I don't know. But he tried to intercede. So to intercede is to step in the middle. And in biblical terms, when we talk about intercession, we're really just talking about praying for somebody else. It doesn't get any more complicated than that. And one thing I'd really love you to grasp today is whenever somebody comes and tells you, ooh, the ministry of intercession, I'm an interceder, you know, I've got the ministry of intercession. There is no ministry of intercession in the Bible. We're all called to the ministry. We're all called to pray for other people. And at times it's one of those things that people use and come with these strange magical terms and these concepts that are not in the Bible. And at times, really dangerous teachings get attached to this subject. So to intercede is to pray for somebody else. Doesn't get more complicated than that. Jesus never said that the more people you could gather together, if you can gather thousands and thousands to pray, it might happen. So often, the body of Christ is trying to do intercession, quote unquote, and beg God to do things he's already done. You don't need to intercede and ask God to do what he already did at Calvary. Let me clue you in on a little bit of wisdom here. God is not your problem. Yeah? There is another whole branch of intercession which makes much about Satan and demons. And I want to be really clear on this. There was a guy I used to know years ago, John Paul Jackson. He wrote a book called Needless Casualties of War. And he actually talks about Christians who get themselves, who try to do warfare against Satan in what the Bible would call the second heaven or even the third heaven. And his whole teaching, and he's absolutely right, is that we are not called to fight principalities and powers. We're not called to rail against them, to insult them, to try and do battle against them. The Bible does not tell us to do that. Yeah, the Bible literally says that we should pray that the Lord will rebuke them. We have no authority in heaven, God's heaven. We actually have no authority in that second realm of heaven, Satan's heaven. We have authority over snakes and scorpions. We have authority over things in this realm. Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore. And our authority is in this realm. And at times Christians try to get involved in things they have no clue. We don't know about. God has not shown us about. And as John Paul Jackson said, it's amazing how many Christians get ill. I'm talking about babies dying, cancers, things like this, because they step into a realm of authority that is not theirs to play with. So, intercession is to pray for somebody else. That's all it is. You know, you don't need to have 10,000 people in a football stadium to do it. There's no Bible verse that says if you pray for 5 hours in intercession, that's more effective than 5 seconds. It's not in your Bible. It's just not there. It's nonsense. There's no Bible verse that says you need some special revelation or some special word to do that. The Bible says nothing about going into the courts of heaven and try to fight a court battle with Satan. This is not Bible, it's phooey. And it's time we came back to the Word and not all of these, you know, nonsense ideas there. So how do we pray effectively for others? Let me give you 7 quick keys to do that. Number one, it's good to understand that there are different rules or different realities when we pray for others than when we pray for ourselves. Now, why do I mean that? There are things that Jesus provided for me on Calvary's cross, and I can come in faith and reach out and believe that I receive them and go away and say, boom, that prayer is now answered. don't need to pray it again. I've got it by faith. That's it. And from that moment, I actually move into, I move from supplication, if you will, to thanksgiving. That moment, from that moment forward, I'm thanking God by faith that prayer is answered. I prayed that prayer once. When we pray for others, there are more things involved. Other people's wills are involved. Other people's authority over their own life, their own choices are involved in a way that they're not with ourselves. So there are prayers I can pray once for myself and then believe that I've got the answer. If I'm going to pray for kings, the King of England, the King of America, if I'm going to pray for the King of America, for the president, you know, I can't just say, yeah, I prayed once, it's over and done with now. For the rest of my life, I've prayed and that's all I ever need to pray. I prayed in faith and it's done. No, there should be this ongoing sense of praying for, really for the presidents, but for all rulers, we pray in an ongoing way. For our children, we don't just pray one prayer for our children. Put them in God's hands and that's it. Pray for them now. Never need to pray for them again. No, there's an ongoing thing of prayer and intercession. You know, as a pastor, I pray regularly for my church members pretty much every day. You know, some days I may get busy or be doing other things, but it would be a normal thing for me to pray for the members of the churches I lead. And that there's that ongoing thing in prayer. I think we need to realize this as well. There are prayers I can pray. I can choose to receive some things. I can choose to repent of my sin and reach out in repentance to God for salvation. I can't choose that for you. Now, it doesn't mean I can't pray for you, but there are things about my own will, my own choices, I can pray for myself that I can't necessarily do for you. So the rules change when we're talking about different things. Come on, key number two, we need to realize there are boundaries in prayer. There are things that we can pray for ourselves, what we can't pray for others. There are limits to what we can pray. And I think recognizing some of these boundaries, there are things I can pray for myself and my wife, we are one. There are things I can pray for my children, especially for my younger children who are, you know, unmarried, they're in my home, they're submitted to me in that context, that I wouldn't be able to pray for them. I will pray for them, but I pray for them differently when they left home, they're married, they're functioning as adults in the world. One is very much somebody who's under my protection. There is a time for our children. You know, I remember once when my daughter was born, she once had all these sores and growths on the inside of her mouth. I remember praying and she was instantly healed. She was a little baby. She couldn't pray for herself. But there's a time when by now she needs to be grown. She needs to grow and develop her own faith. So again, recognizing some of these boundaries, recognizing, let's say as a pastor of a church, there are things I can pray. If you're a member of my church, I can pray things for you that have nothing to do with my faith, but that have to do with our relationship there. If I go to somebody else's church, I can't pray the same things for that person. I remember once hearing a friend of mine who's an amazing minister in healing, and he was teaching about praying from a place of authority. And he was with a home group leader, and he was teaching this guy he said to this home group leader, you don't have a lot of faith, but you're the leader of this group. You have a right to pray. And he taught him how to pray for people from that place of authority. And I remember him teaching, this guy prayed and everybody in his home group was healed. This guy was like, wow. The next day, this home group leader prayed for others in the church. Nobody was healed. And he felt a failure and he came to my friend saying, why was it? And my friend went to the Lord. The Lord said he was a captain over 10. He was in that place of authority over that context there. So knowing those boundaries of authority, it's one of the reasons Satan likes to take people out of authority. You know, as a leader in my church, I will designate people to pray here, to minister to the sick, and they're working under my authority in that sphere. At times, people like to minister and do this Lone Ranger international ministry. They like to come to a church, but try and minister outside in the parking lot or on their own, like a nod and a wink and, hey, give me a call tomorrow and we'll set up our private little prayer thing. And they're stepping outside of authority. And even if they're moving in faith, at times they open doors to Satan in that realm. So number two, recognize boundaries. Number three, if we're going to intercede and pray for others, we should really start with the heart of love. We shouldn't assume, there's a danger here, that we know what's best for somebody else, There are times when people pray in intercession, and intercession becomes manipulation. When somebody's in effect trying to decide, I know what's better for you than you know for you. And we should start with the heart of love. Lord, what's your heart for this person? Lord, how do you see this person? Lord, show me your heart, your passion, your desire for that person. When we find the heart of God, we will pray well in intercession. Key number four, and again, at times this one can get abused, but if we're going to pray for people, you know, get a word from God for them. Now, again, primarily I'm talking about getting a Bible word for them. There is a teaching out there, part of the Courts of Heaven teaching, that's, again, really weird, that says it says to effectively pray, you need a prophetic word for people. Now, let me say this. Can God show us things about other people? Yes, I think he can. And yet, you know, I was doing a conference this weekend on hearing God's voice. Most of us are not as good at hearing God's voice as we think we are. And there is a very real danger of us trying to get prophetic words for other people that we then go praying, and we are doing weird things with that. So I would say, you know, pray biblical prayers over other people. Stand on the authority of God's word. And can God show you something? Yeah, but be very careful that it's biblical, that the person wants you praying those things over them. You know, it is frankly witchcraft if we go praying things over other people without their will, without their permission, and we're trying to say, I know what's best for you better than you do. That's a really weird way of praying. So pray promises based on the word of God. Good. Key number five in this. Let's talk about context as well. So often, one of the powerful things we miss in intercession is we can't pray prayers of intercession. Imagine you're praying for your children who are far from God. Okay. You can't pray and force them to come to Christ, come to faith, to get saved, to be born again, whatever. What we can do in intercession is shift the context around them. What we can do when we pray prayers of intercession for a town, for a nation, for a high school, for the government, for things like that, is shift the context. And at times, what we should be praying in intercession is not God force little Johnny to get saved, but rather, Lord, send laborers into his path. Lord, create the context, create the right person with the word in season, create the place that will bring that person into your plans and purposes. Key number six in this realm is all about repentance and grace. Here's a powerful truth, and this may sound a little weird at times, but track with me here. I think what we can do, if we're praying for somebody, especially somebody that we're in relationship with, you know, a husband, a wife, children, in that church context, if you're in authority in that place, is we can come before the Lord and we can say, Lord, I call down your mercy and your grace. I plead the blood of Jesus over their life. Come on, imagine, this is just an example, not a real thing. Imagine I'm praying for my son, and my son's in rebellion, he's far from God. And in effect, here's what's actually going on. His sin, his rebellion, is an open door to Satan over his life. Now, what I can do is come before him and say, Lord, he's my son. Maybe he's not acting that well today, but he's my son and I love him and you love him. And Lord, I repent for both of us. It's like I come as a priest and I say, Lord, all of his goofy sins and all his deeds, put them on my tab and I repent for both of us. I'll pay his tab like at the restaurant. Yeah. And Lord, I call down your mercy and your grace and your protection over this person. Now, it doesn't mean that he doesn't need to repent. But what effectively I've done there is I've brought the benefits of repentance, of the blood of Jesus, of the grace of God to bear on his life. And it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. So we can pray and actually remove some of the effects of sin, if you will, off of other people. So often we come into a situation and we're like one of the sons of Noah. Do you remember the story when Noah was drunk and he was naked in his tent? His eldest son came in and pointed the finger and laughed at his father. The other two sons came in backwards and pulled a sheet over their father. Love covers a multitude of sin. And what we should be doing in prayer and intercession is not pointing out sin. When we do that, we align ourselves with the accuser of the brethren. What we should be doing is literally pulling that sheet, if you will, off over people and covering sin. And that doesn't mean they don't need to repent, but it means we bring to bear the grace and the forgiveness and mercy of God upon them. Lastly, if we're going to pray prayers that are powerful, we need to pray with persistence. We need to pray with faith. We need to call those things which are not as though they were. There is a great book, How to Stand in the Gap for Your Children by Norval Hayes. And he talks about praying for his daughter who is far from God, but by continually coming and seeing her in God's plan, in God's purpose, in God's, you know, the fullness of what the Lord wants to do, and saying, calling her saved, calling her a woman of God when she wasn't one, by faith, and being persistent in our faith, persistent in our declaration, and persistent in our thanksgiving. When the angel came at Daniel, let me finish with this, I think it's in Daniel 10, he said to Daniel, I have come for your words. Really powerful thing, and the words we speak release the power of intercession in our life and can transform the lives of others around us. So here's my encouragement. Run away from all the weird, wacky things. If intercession becomes a secret wizardry, you've got to go into the basement, you can only do with other people, it's not of God. You know, come to the normal prayer meeting. Pray simple, powerful prayers that change heaven and change lives in Jesus' name. Thanks for watching, guys. I'll be back with another teaching tomorrow. Bye for now.